A deepening rift is emerging within the Anglican Church after Sydney's Archbishop Glenn Davis told supporters of same-sex marriage to stop, in his words, ruining the church and please leave. He later said his statement was directed at liberal bishops, not gay Christians, but his comments have stoked suspicion from Sydney Anglicans. That Sydney Anglicans, rather, are trying to split the worldwide Anglican communion. Andrew McGowan is Dean of the Divinity School at Yale University in the United States. And RN's Andrew West has asked him if the leaders of the global Anglican Church should fear their Sydney counterparts.
I don't think they should fear them. I think they should be concerned about some of the stances being taken in Sydney, and they might well raise their eyebrows about some of the recent comments, which, of course, you might have in mind in asking that question. I think that Sydney Anglicans are playing a role at the moment in some parts of the world, which certainly give rise to a measure of suspicion and concern, but fear might just be a little bit too strong a way of putting it.
The reason I ask that, though, is that the Archbishop of Sydney, Glenn Davies, in a statement to the Anglicans of Sydney earlier this year, kept making the point that Sydney's connection, the constitution of the Anglican Church in Australia, did not bind it to the Archbishop of Canterbury, for example. It only bound it to those churches that it saw as effectively sharing its worldview. The language is increasingly, if not completely, schismatic.
Perhaps so, and perhaps more overtly so than in the past, because I think that, well, it's true that Archbishop Davies has been offering some utterances which are really attracting attention, that he's reflecting a view about the character of Sydney Anglicanism, which is decades old, really half a century old, perhaps, this idea that the real church is not that visible church made up of the institutions and congregations and members who inhabit Anglican pews on Sundays, but rather a sort of invisible fellowship of the true believers, which in fact extends beyond Anglicanism in certain respects to anyone who agrees with them, but also excludes by implication people who don't agree with them in a whole variety of ways. And this is not actually new business, but it's something which Sydney Anglicans in the past have tended to play down because they felt that it was more diplomatic to be able to leverage the uneasy relationships they had with Anglicans in other parts of the country and other parts of the world in order to do what they regard as their own, you know, God-given mission to proclaim their own particular version of the gospel.
How uneasy is the Sydney Anglican relationship now with the spiritual leader of the church, the Archbishop of Canterbury?
Well, that's an interesting question. You know, Justin Welby has evangelical credentials and has worked hard in the Church of England and globally to maintain or perhaps even extend or create a big tent of people who include evangelicals as well as liberals and those of more Catholic persuasion. I think, however, that relationship is uneasy because that big tent approach is precisely what Sydney is not really interested in. The big tent is for them only a place under which it is convenient to take shelter while they win others to their own cause.
In a way, the other thing that the Anglican Communion does not have the luxury of having is an ultimate referee on these matters. There is no one of papal authority, as it were, to say, look, this is the doctrine. This seems to me to be part of Anglicanism's biggest challenge, its collegiate nature rather than having a pope.
It's true. It's always been Anglicanism's greatest challenge, but one might say that on a good day, it's part of its genius as well. The lack of a central authority within Anglicanism is meant to leave, I think, you know, mature and thoughtful partners who have an inherent commitment with one another, to leave them in a position where they have to think about how they can actually, if not resolve differences, then at least consider how and whether they can work together and to what extent. And of course, the Sydney folk might say, well, we just don't think we can. I think that's not a necessary conclusion. Of course, the Roman Catholic Church having its own challenges at the moment, sort of as we've seen, for instance, with this recent Amazon Synod, I'm not necessarily any more tempted than I ever was by the notion that someone who exercises universal, ordinary, and immediate jurisdiction will be able to do more than simply draw a line more clearly, which will show who stands on one side of that line and who on the other. The glory and the terror of Anglicanism is that we all disagree on where the line is, quite apart from who stands on either side of it.
That's Andrew McGowan there, Dean of Divinity School at Yale University in the United States. You can hear the full version of that discussion this afternoon on the Religion and Ethics Report at 5:30 here on RN or via podcast as well. Always highly recommended listening.